The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill. Today's guest is the founder and CEO of a hair care brand that I'm personally obsessed with, Crown Affair. She's worked behind the scenes at startups such as Away, Outdoor Voices, and Harry's, so it's no surprise that her fast-growing brand has already earned itself top-shelf placement. She's changing the game in the hair care industry with her consumer education, problem-solving products, and no-makeup makeup vibe but for your hair. And today, we get to go behind the scenes with her for a really raw conversation around what it takes to create and run your own brand. I'm so happy to share the mic with Diana Cohen today on Ready, Set, Spill. Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Look at your cute little studio with your Dear Media microphone.
I know. You know what part of, so when everyone was asking me to start a podcast, I just like knew I couldn't do it on my own. And Dear Media was like the perfect partner because they just handle it all. So I am very lucky to be here.
I mean, say no more, say no more. I love it.
So you're in Florida right now?
I'm in Miami. I moved down here a little over a year and a half ago.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, we'll jump into all that because I have some fast facts for all my listeners to hear, and then we'll dive into some fun questions. But I always start my podcast with sort of like an icebreaker. And today's icebreaker is, what is the most recent TV show you binged?
Oh gosh, binged. Severance. It would have to be Severance because I am watching Game of Thrones and I'm watching things, but those are real time week over week. I recently started end to end Severance because Adam Scott is amazing and Ben Stiller is amazing. And that whole show, like the tone and the vibe, it's just perfection.
Okay. I have to say, I tried to watch it. I couldn't get into it. So maybe I have to give another try, but it was hard for me to get past the first couple episodes.
Honestly, shows are meant to be an escape. So if it's not serving you, then there is literally no need to watch it. So I feel the same with other shows.
Okay. So you are the CEO and founder of Crown Affair. Can you let everyone know? I know what Crown Affair is, and I can't wait to tell you like how I figured out the brand and came to loving it and all that stuff. But can you tell everyone what Crown Affair is?
Yes, I'm so curious to hear how you came upon Crown Affair because we've never actually met in person. And when you shared it, I was like, how does this magical human who I admire so much what you're doing know about it? That's like the ultimate compliment. And Crown Affair is a clean hair care line, but it's so much more than that. It is truly a love letter to your hair. I started this company for the people in my world, like us, who are so incredible, so impressive, but have no idea where to start with their hair. And I've been obsessed with my hair for a very long time. I put a bunch of my 12 steps of like guidance and advice into a Google Doc for a couple girlfriends. And that was like the light bulb moment. I was like, so much of storytelling and content in this category is like professional and styling and how to achieve a look. It's not how people like us just talk about their hair. And really the health piece of the conversation was missing as well. Like those consistency pieces of like why brushing your hair is important. Like people are always shocked when they're like, why do you need to brush your hair? So it's really just a love letter to everybody that wants to take better care of their hair and see results over time. And like you, I just love putting beautiful, intentional things into the world. So hopefully when someone sees Crown Affair, whether it's in their shower or on their bedside, they get a little bit of joy out of that experience that has been a really disempowering one for a long time.
Totally. I also am obsessed with hair. I feel like I'm always giving like little seminars to my friends on like hair health and how to get your hair to grow and myths and debunking myths. And I like, I am not a hair expert by any means, but it's working for me. My hair grows like wildfire. So I, pregnant or not pregnant, and I've helped so many friends with their hair care. But that's also like why I fell in love with Crown Affair was because I feel like you know, Set is all about simplifying the way that you get dressed. But I feel like with Crown Affair, you're simplifying hair health. And like, you're not making it complicated. It's just like, this is what you need. It's not that many steps. This is how you should be drying your hair when you get out of the shower. you shouldn't be using heat, and it starts from the scalp, and it's like really simple, and you're not putting like all this like, well, science says this and that, and like all, you know, it's just, you're simplifying the way that you take care of your hair. And that's what gravitated me towards Crown Affair.
I'm so glad this is being recorded because I literally could not have said it better myself. And it's the same with the category you're in. It's like, options and SKU count isn't the issue. Simplicity and finding consistency in how you show up is. Like, if you need a really technical thing for this one moment, then like that exists. Or like, I mean, you know this, so much of the science behind this stuff isn't even real. And once you start getting into product development and get to know these contract manufacturers, you're like, oh, wait, that's just that. But, you know, at a high level, it should be simple. It should be a beautiful, luxurious experience. And it's not even about if the product is a luxury product or not. It's about how you act when you use that product that creates a sense of luxury. And I love that you're the friend that, I feel like everybody has a friend that's like, I watched all these YouTube videos, like, here's how to grow your hair long. And it really is so simple. And so much of this too is like getting people to be comfortable with their hair as it is. Like, obviously I love a blowout as much as the next person or getting my hair done for an event. But like, I really just want to figure out how to make my hair the best it can be, really leaning into the art of the air dry. And there are so many tips and tricks to like make your hair the best version of itself, or like what I call the no makeup makeup of hair. It's not that you're not wearing makeup. It's just like, you're not doing a full beat that day. And it's like, you don't have to do a full beat on your hair every day also, you know?
I have to talk about, okay, so let me back up for a second, because what actually made me first realize the brand was, I was talking with our brand strategist, Gina, and we're in totally different, you know, worlds. I'm in, you know, fashion and clothing, you're in hair. And we were talking about the importance of branding to our team and like what makes, you know, why branding is important and how to not overcomplicate it. And so that's really what made me first fall in love with Crown Affair, was the branding. And you could tell that there was like so much to just the thought that you guys put into branding and to make sure it made sense and everything was so simple. And then I think, like, I don't know if it was serendipitous, but it was like a couple weeks later, your social team reached out asking to send me some product. And yeah. I'm not a brat. I am a brat in most things in my life. But when it comes to, you know, I don't just say yes to everything that everyone wants to send me, because one, I like have a problem with finding ways to get rid of things in my house. And two, I just, unless I think I'm going to love it, I just don't want to overpromise something to like someone by sharing it or whatever it might be. So you guys sent me product. I fell in love with it. And then I posted about it on social media. Then I saw your viral TikTok on how to air dry your hair with the twists and the clips. And I resonated with that because I also do that when I need to air dry my hair. But I didn't have clips to keep it in place. I always just like did it myself or held it for an hour. My thumb would get sore. And it was like this whole thing. And then I was like, well, her clips aren't just normal clips. There's also a clip in the clip. And I was like, that is how you know she knows what she's doing. And I was like, after that, I was just hooked. And then I was like, okay, well, now I'm going to try the leave-in stuff. And then I was like, now I'm going to try the microfiber towel. And it was like this whole equation for myself on like how I'm going to fall in love with Crown Affair, and the equation worked for me. So it started with your branding, and then it started with your product, and then it's the product that got sent to me, which was the scalp scrub and the comb. And I think one other thing that got sent to me, and then it was your TikTok video. Then I bought myself the clips and the leave-in conditioner and the microfiber towel. And now it's all part of my hair care routine.
And now you have the whole routine. I love that so much. I mean, first of all, thank you. On my like tombstone, it's going to be like, she put brand first, because I am like such like truly to the death. And you know how hard that is. It's like, to me, the soul is the most important thing. Not to say it's easy to make a great product, whatever category you're in, but like, that's the part that's really doable. The challenge is the soul, you can come in, someone can sell you a product benefit or an ingredient or this, that, but then you're like, why am I buying this? And like, how does it change the way I feel? So I really did want to start with that, especially like not being a professional hairstylist. To me, it was like the brand and how it makes you feel. And something you also know, it's the simplicity is the hardest thing. Like the hard part isn't kitchen sinking and having a million ideas. The hard part's in the editing. Anyone who's listening, who's an editor in anything that you do, like that is where the magic happens. So really pulling back, whether it's around product development, around brand messaging, and you know, we're 2.5 years old as a business now. And I always joke, I'm like, I don't know how, like, we're like people, like the best compliment is when people are like, you don't feel like a hair care company, you know? And in beauty in particular, especially in certain environments, it's like, you have so many brands just like yelling at you. And at the end of the day, like a great product is a great product. And I think we all know this, the product is the most important thing. But to me, it's also table stakes. It's like you build a brand off of great product. And even if it's one SKU that people are obsessed with or everyone has their own thing, it's like that will build a business over time. But I think now more than ever in this world of like so many celebrity brands or like all of these big box retailers making their own version of product, it's like, who are you? What's your mission? Who are you building this for? And then of course, in order to like be around in 10, 20 years, like the product's got to slap, you know, like people have to tell people about it. That's how I first discovered Set, by the way, not to go on a full tangent right now, but since moving to Florida, I have now become a Pilates lady is now my new life. I was not a Pilates person after 12 years in New York, but I feel like half of the room is in Set. And my friend Anna, who moved from New York, now lives in my building in Miami. It's all she wears. And she's like, you don't understand. It's like the best product. And, you know, no matter how many people you might follow online have a product, I think that like friend to friend thing, there's just nothing like that word of mouth. So anyway, I really believe in that.
It is powerful. And also shout out Anna. I love you so much. Thank you so much for showing my brand to other people. But I think so one of the like most frequent asked questions I get about just being an entrepreneur and starting Set was like, well, how did you just get started if you had no experience in active and fashion? And my answer is always like, well, yes, you have to think big picture, but you have to really, really like microscopically like zoom in and you kind of figure it out as you go and take each step as it comes rather than plan for all the steps that are coming. That's what worked for Set or that's what worked for me. But for someone who, you know, you said it's not, you're not educating the science of hair to people. You started a brand that has hair products. So what was your first step and how did you get over that mental game of like, I'm going to do this?
My first thing that popped in my mind was just like blind optimism. Like you just like, I think if you have a vision and you really want something to exist in the world, like you wake up every day excited and resilient to be like, I'm going to move this thing forward and I'm going to figure it out. You know, I would be remiss to not mention that I worked in consumer for over a decade before launching Crown Affair. So, you know, I'd started in 2012. I was at Into the Gloss before it was Glossier, but like early days of building that and, you know, worked at a mobile shopping app called Spring where we had over 300 direct consumer brands on the platform when we launched. And I was the 8th employee at Away. So like, seeing that product development process from people who like didn't come from like the suitcase business, you know, or whatever it was, or working with the Harry's guys and like them launching new brands. And, you know, nobody like starts out. I mean, some people do start out or have families who have family businesses, but most people that I've worked with over the last decade really just had a vision for a category and wanted to tell a different story and bring a different product to market. So that was very much the fire under me. And then, you know, a friend of mine, my husband's best friend since fourth grade, is a bioengineer and chemist. And we were all at brunch. This was years ago now, 3-4 years ago. And I was telling his wife about how to take better care of her hair. We were talking about the Google Doc. And he has like type 3 curly hair. Like I feel like most guys with curly hair, like have no idea what to do with their hair. Like you give them one product, you're like, here's a hair mask, just use it one time. And they're like, everything is different. But, you know, he had a product background and we really started working on this nights and weekends together. Like I had my brand agency with Levitate. He has a biotech company. We were like, how do we take this best-selling hair oil? How do we take this thing? So it started as like, hey, let's meet up on Saturday for 8 hours. Let's like talk about this thing. Like with the hair towel, there are so many hair towels out there. Like you can go on Amazon right now and type in hair towel. And I had a bunch of them. But there were like five things I wanted to change about it and make it better, from like the length. We have a patent on the shape, how it actually like, it takes the weight out of how it sits on your head, like how it dries, the strap in the back, how it washes. Like so many of those towels end up like not smelling great or looking gross after 10 washes. So it really was just like me wanting to figure this out. And I always joke, like, your best friend is like the 26-0 in the Google search, because like, you know, like really reaching out to people. And I think as an entrepreneur, I look back at those early days of like what got me over the hump. And I think it was knowing that like there'd be days that were really busy and there'd be days that weren't. And I was just, I don't know, I just felt like a fire under me to build this thing. And that was all before, you know, the pandemic. I had launched Crown Affair January 2020. So 6 weeks before kind of COVID hit the States. And I do feel like it's different depending on like the momentum. But at the time, I don't know about you, I just was like, every day I'd wake up and was like, I need to build this. And truthfully too, like I love building other people's businesses, but I think with Levitate and before, I kind of hit a point where like I knew I needed to do this for myself. Like I didn't want to just be hired as like a contractor consultant and like, you know, give away what felt like to me kind of my soul. So it's been really fun to put it into something that I am so passionate about. And now I get to wake up every day and like read emails and DMs or stories like yours of how it's changed people's hair. And that's now what motivates me every day to keep going and building.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, sister. I get like DMs all the time about how putting on their set really changes their mindset, no pun intended, yeah, for the day. And so it does keep me going. So something that's important to me, especially with like having guests on my podcast and diving into just the entrepreneur world, is I really want to show people who are wanting to be an entrepreneur or work for an entrepreneur or whatever it might be, that it's not always rainbows and butterflies. And I want to ask if you're comfortable sharing, what's been your biggest failure or regret with building Crown Affair so far?
Oh, it's such a good question. It's funny because I always joke that I'm like not employable by like a corporate company. Like I've only ever worked for...
Neither am I.
Yeah, I know. There's just some of us that are cut from the same cloth that I think want to make things happen. And I've only ever worked for entrepreneurs. Because of that, when I built Crown Affair, I really wanted to avoid a lot of the mistakes my former founders had made, you know, whether it was at Away or I've just worked with a lot of companies that are publicly like had challenges. And you know, if you're going to make mistakes or fail and you're not going to learn from them, then like, what's the point? So my entire mission, in addition to like building things for customers, like it sounds so corny because it's like how much can I'm saying it. So it's like coming from me, but like my team, it's like, that's all that matters to me is my girls. We're all women except for one guy who I love. And like, I think also with the pandemic, it's like, you got to put people first. It's a weird balance. Like my daily life is like, the entire ethos of Crown Affair is about taking your time. So it's like, how can I tell people to take their time and take care of themselves if I'm not doing that myself? So I feel very lucky on this now 3-year journey. I have been super aware of like not repeating the mistakes of previous bosses and being very like mindful. But you know, I would say the biggest challenges have just been like the last 2 years. I'm sure you feel it with like supply chain, freight, inventory, ordering. Like, I don't know. It was a really special time the first like year and a half. It was just like all upside, all fun. And now it's like, okay, we're really like, I want to make this business profitable. And, you know, we're now in Sephora's nationwide, which is like a whole other partner and a whole other planning. So I wouldn't say it's like, it's not mistakes, but you just like, honestly, you learn so much along the way. And I do feel really lucky that we've been able to work remotely because we have an office now in New York and I'm there at least a month for a week at a time. But like, I've definitely become a better leader because I have the space. I think it's impossible to like bottle your emotions and like, I feel all the feelings. So when I show up for my team, whether that's on a Zoom or a call or eventually when we're in person, I have had the time and space to like process and compose myself to like be a better leader. But like that has come with literally 12 years before this of like learning what to do either as an employee or as a manager. It's really hard. That's the hardest part of this is the management and hiring and all of that. I'm sure you feel it too.
Yeah. It's so interesting because had you asked me your one what do I think the hardest part about running or owning a business would be, my answer probably wouldn't have guessed managing and running a team, but it is by far the hardest part of owning and running a business. You have so many different personalities you have to juggle. You have so many, I mean, in a way, like no offense to anyone's team, but it's like taking care of children. You have so many different personalities. Someone's going to say that's not fair and someone's going to be really happy with that decision. And not everyone thinks the same. And some people think that a 9-to-5 is how everyone should operate. And some people are like, no, I'm passionate about my job. I want to be in the office until 10 p.m. because this is what excites me and makes me like happy. And it's like, how do you balance all that? And it's, I mean, being at the helm of the company, like you have to make and mitigate those situations and problems. And it's definitely hard. But speaking of all of that, I was having a conversation again with Gina this morning, our brand strategist, and she was like, that's your superpower as a leader, is your superpower is how decisive you are. Because we had a conversation with someone, they came in and they were like, I need to think on it. And like, she left the room and I was like, God, that is such an obvious answer. Like the answer is just like, I don't know how anyone just has to think about that. Like if they pick the other one, that's clearly the wrong answer. And that's when she was like, well, your superpower as a leader is decisiveness. And it's true. It's what's gotten me to help build Set, make decisions internally, externally, on the brand, on employees. So what do you think your superpower is as a leader?
I love that. First of all, I'm envious that your superpower is being decisive, because I am too in ways with Crown Affair. In my personal life, I am not. It takes me 40 minutes to order anything on a menu.
Correct.
So
yes.
I really surround myself. My joke is like, whenever people are like, how do you do it all? I'm like, I don't. I surround myself with Virgos and people who are decisive, which are usually the same. I mean, it is important to be super clear on what you're doing. I would say my superpower is like getting people on board with the vision of what we're doing, whether that's hiring, like that's obviously your job as a founder and CEO is to be able to like get in people. There's a quote that I love. It's like, you can teach a man to build a boat, or you can teach him or her to long for the sea. And my whole thing, it's like, there are people who are amazing technical, like, okay, I know how to build this boat. This is the boat. Here are the instructions. I need this person, we're going to put this boat together and it's going to go. Or you get an entire group of people who are just like down to like explore and adventure. And like the boat will come if there's a bigger vision. And I feel like that is probably my day-to-day superpower, whether it's with investors or team. I also just, I'm the same. Like I do really know the brand because the brand is me. And I don't know how, like maybe this is me being naive, but like, I don't understand how people make businesses that aren't them, like isn't who they are as a person, because every company needs to grow and evolve. And as a person, you grow and evolve. Like who I was 3 years ago is so different than who I am now, whether that's emotionally, aesthetically, like there are those shifts. And to me, it's like the whole soul and gut of Crown Affair is like what I would like, you know? So this idea of like building a company for like a group of people, like, oh, it's a Gen Z brand. It's like, that's not, I'm like growing and build. I want to build this for the next decades, like with me, for my community. So that, I don't know if that's a superpower, but shout out to all the people out there, yourself included, who are like building products for you, because I think that's how you just always are ahead of the curve and like building something that is authentic.
Totally.
Hey guys, it's me, Chriselle Lim, co-founder and CMO of Boomo. As a busy working parent myself, I felt like there was a lack of options for parents, and I personally needed more support. So that's what we're doing here on Being Boomo. We're here to make your life easier, a little less stressful, and help you navigate through this complex thing called parenting. So subscribe now to Being Boomo at applepodcast.com/beingboomo or wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, gotta go. See you guys soon.
I mean, I would say 90% of what we build at Set is for me. It's like, what do I want in my closet and how do I wear it? However, I have learned going into year five that there does have to be a small percentage of listening to what your community wants or is longing for with your spin on it. So like, you know, I remember, I think 3 years ago, I was like, I'll never do leggings with pockets ever. It's just not Set. I personally wouldn't wear it. And next year we have leggings with pockets coming, but it's because it's fitting a story that we're trying to tell. Here's me leaking secrets, but one of our drops is National Geographic inspired next year. And so the whole drop is very recreational, very outdoorsy. And that makes sense to do leggings with pockets in that design, that technical design. So of course, here I am being like, well, we have leggings with pockets coming. So
I love it so much. By the way, that is, if I had, first of all, 100%. Second, if there were learnings combined with a superpower, I would say that I am the queen of like not knowing. I don't know. I know that I don't know everything. And that like even managing people, the first hire I made was, I'm like a good mentor. I'm not a good manager. Yeah. Like I know myself. And when it comes to product development too, like I just know what I like, but there are so many things, especially with hair care, you know, the range of hair types, the diversity in hair care. Like, I think the learning is like, you think something could be such a successful SKU, or you're like, I'm never going to do this type of thing. And then you launch it and it like pops off and it's actually what your community and your customer wants. So I think that I love that. I can't wait for that drop. And second, that's the reality. And, you know, sometimes you have to kill your darlings too. Like you might have a product, it happens all the time in beauty, a founder who I was talking to recently sold her company was like, there was this SKU I was obsessed with and it just didn't work and I had to kill it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then another thing, like this concealer they launched, they were not sure, and that's become their number one SKU. So it's like, you really don't know everything. And I think every year you just maybe let go a little bit more as you learn.
Totally. I mean, I'm so excited for next year, but it is hard. It's still like yes, I'm in year five, but it still feels like we're in year one. And they do say that the first 5 years of a startup is still the infancy stage. And I feel that so hard right now because I still feel like we're in year one. And
yeah.
I'm like, we're trying all these different things. Actually, this was by far the hardest year Set has ever had. All around, hitting all the themes, whether it's internal management, external marketing. I mean, we poured, and I mean poured money into marketing this year and saw no ROI. And we had to take a step back and we had to be like, we need to get scrappy again. That's how Set was successful in the beginning, was because we were scrappy and like, maybe we don't need to be pouring all these marketing dollars into every initiative because we're not seeing that return. I mean, we're hitting our sales goals, which is great. Like Set's not going under. We're doing great. We're growing. Next year is going to be insane. We've pivoted. But that's what business is all about, is pivoting. And it's not going to be the same every single year. And I think that's been like the biggest takeaway that I've had to learn for someone who doesn't like change. Every year you do have to pivot because you have to keep up.
Absolutely. I think this year was really tough though too. Like I feel like everyone across the board would like, planning, marketing spend, changes in iOS, like it has been probably one of the more challenging years. And I'm always like, what is it like to run a business in normal times? I simply do not know. But also that is like in our DNA. It's like things might go insane tomorrow. But yeah, I think it's been a really hard year. And it's so important that you have the core of who you are and still think in that like grassroots scrappy way, because at the end of the day, that's what it goes back to. And that's how businesses grow. And I think for me, at least, it's really easy to like look around and see how far all these other people might be. But the truth is as many businesses as there are as many ways to run a business. And you never know what's going on under the hood. You never know what the business is really like. And, you know, I've been really fortunate with friends. I have friends in the apparel space, the guys from Buck Mason who are out in LA, and they're on year nine. And like, you know, they were being compared early days to like the Everlanes, the like D2C guys. And it's like, they have an insane, healthy business now, 10 years later. And it was a little bit slower. And they had years, I think year five, actually, they put a ton into marketing. It did like, it's just, you learn and you grow, but the foundation of what you've built. And I think for anybody, it's like, you can't, that is the foundation that is going to keep you going and you can't fake that. So
yeah.
Go you. Year five.
My husband, by the way, is obsessed with Buck Mason. It's like we have every color they have produced in their t-shirts. Hey, I feel like I have a mini Buck Mason store in my husband's closet. It's the only t-shirts he'll wear because he like is a gym freak and his arms are way too big, in my opinion, for his body. Sorry, Garrett, I love you so much. But the Buck Mason t-shirts just like fit him so perfectly. And that is a brand word of mouth where he has gotten every single one of his friends. Now my cousin buys Buck Mason, like, Buck Mason, you're doing a great job. Really love you. Wish your store was bigger in Century City. Separate conversation. But
tiniest stores ever. I love that. Eric and Sasha will be very happy to hear that. But yeah, they actually do more revenue per square foot than Apple stores because those stores are so tiny. And like that customer and how they shop. It's so, you should meet, I'm going to connect you. You guys should meet because I feel like totally different businesses. But yeah. So many learnings.
Well, we have our first store opening up in the next like month and a half-ish. I have to double check that date, but we have our first year-long pop-up coming very soon. And it's a small store, but I'm very excited.
All right. I was going to say, you must be so excited. Have you shared where it might be or is it?
Yeah, it's going to be on Melrose Place in West Hollywood, which has been a dream of mine since year one. I literally am over the moon because it's the number one question we get asked all the time is like, when can we have a store? People want to feel the product in real life. And the concept for the store is the concept that I had since year one. So wow. I'm like really, really excited. It's very museum-like. You know, when you were little and my team laughs at me because I'm like queen of analogies. But when you were little and you went on a field trip with your class to a museum, no matter what the museum was, normally what would happen is you all huddle into this dark room and it's an immersive experience where you're sitting and you're learning about what you're about to learn about.
Yeah.
Basically. And yes. Like there's like a little mini movie and everyone gets to sit and hang out for a second before they have to be on their feet the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you start moving into the experience of what you just learned about. And that's sort of the concept with the store. So I'm really excited.
I love that. I'm so excited for you. First of all, that's such a visceral feeling that I think everyone can relate to. Like that it's just, it's magical. I'm like imagining myself in like the planetarium or something.
Yes.
Like waiting to go into. You know, retail is so important, even though the rise of online, people want to touch and feel. And, you know, Sephora has been an incredible partner and testing ground for that. But to actually have your own space is the dream. And I think every founder, like you're like, this is the dream. I mean, my dream is still to create spaces. And I love that you said it's an idea from your early days. And, you know, as you build a business, it gets harder to hold on to like that magic of day one. So like, I have this whole, like, I won't give too much away, but like,
no, give it away. Give it
like,
away.
Like labyrinth-esque, like me. I just have this whole vision of what I want to build with a labyrinth. And it's like, obviously we can't do it today. Like I need to build, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, but it's, I think that's what makes a great founder and a great business is like having these ideas that are so core to the DNA of the brand. And I love that you have like the museum reference too, because there's so many museum references in Crown Affair from like the name and the logo and like, there are so many like feelings that I think that is how you build a brand. So I am so thrilled for you. I cannot wait to go see the space and, you know, year five, that's like, it's impressive, you know, and I think everybody builds it on their own time. And now you're going to really know what it is. I can't wait to be in there.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm so excited. And next year we're really changing up. I mean, you'll see, or maybe you won't. Everyone has a different path. And I think that's also so important when you're like, talking about businesses or comparing businesses or whatever you're doing internally in your mind, like we're doing next year differently than we've ever done before. We're not dropping activewear at the same time. Each family's being separate. Like I'm nervous because we're not doing what we're used to, but we have to pivot and we have to like, it's all trial and error. And it's about, you know, maintaining a healthy, revenue to keep the business going, but also making sure that you're staying up to date, which leads me to more of like BTS of Crown Affair. Can you kind of like talk us through, when I say us, I mean me and my listeners, the behind the scenes of like the process of how you bring your content to life and who comes up with your cool ideas and how do you execute it? Because that's the biggest conversation that we have at set is like we dream big and we come up with these insane ideas. And then sometimes, most times, we fall short on the execution. And then we have to pivot and backtrack and talk about what's feasible, what's the bandwidth. And it's like a cyclical cycle of coming up with ideas and how do we execute it. So talk to me about that process for Crown Affair.
It's the hardest part. I feel like the best analogy, it's like champagne taste on a beer budget. Like every reference I have is like Lueve or Byredo or like companies that are doing like a billion in revenue. And I'm like, oh, we should just do this amazing animated experience. Or like, I mean, in my dream world, we're making an Oculus experience of like a Ryokan, you know, it's like, but that's clearly not happening. So, you know, the tactical side of it is an amalgamation of content that we make in-house, you know, content creators, UGC. It's so crazy because as you're saying, it's like the evolution. It, if you said the words TikTok to me 3 years ago, I would be like, the Kesha song? Like I had no, like I just would have no idea. And, you know, I look at some of the things that we do, for example, on Instagram now, and like, I'll look at them and I'm like, I can't believe that's being shipped, but like, it's okay. Because it's like, yes, a static post might not be compelling, but at the end of the day, that channel is just an extension of your website. It's another point of social proof for people to be like, okay, I've already been on the product page. I like this product. I'm into it, but let me see how it like looks in a room or how someone is using it on their hair. It like, does it need to be the most engaging video that gets a million views? Like, no, it's serving a different purpose. So for us, it's just about shifting the metrics around like what success looks like, depending on the channels and what the goals are, where TikTok is like very top of funnel. So like, I'm sure you guys are the best at this. I feel like you've done such an incredible job with like sharing the product development, sharing the team. It's like part of why I'm so excited. We just signed an office lease. Like we just opened our office a month ago. Like we haven't had an office at all, you know? So being together, talking about product, unboxing things, getting those reactions, like it's a combination of like working with the internal team and external creators on product education, doing education in-house. I mean, like iPhones are just magical things. Like recording everything as you go, editing it. I mean, there's so much we want to do better, as I'm sure every brand feels. And truthfully, like I feel like I've broken down, like going back to what I said earlier, like I've always put the brand first. Yeah. And like, I have made a lot of effort internally, at least, and externally to like not just be a brand that follows a trend. When we first launched almost 3 years ago, like everybody was just like photoshopping their product into like a 90s still of a movie, you know, like very like nostalgia, very meme culture. And like, I do love that stuff and I consume it, but I was really intentional about and know Crown Affair is a brand. And like, you're never going to see it like a dry shampoo superimposed on like Cher Horowitz, as much as I love Cher Horowitz, you know, it's just like, that's just not the brand. And I do think that might've like hurt us earlier on because those things are very shareable and viral. But I think with what TikTok is, you can have so much more fun with like green screens and things like that. So I make a lot of content. I feel, I'm sure you feel this way. It feels like a full-time job in addition to my full-time job.
It is a full-time job.
Tough.
Yeah. It's tough. I started posting personal like business TikToks on my own TikTok of just like BTS behind fit meetings or just like meetings in general or opening a FedEx package of samples, not knowing what's inside, and everyone gets to view it at the same time as me. And like, what's the reaction? And I haven't posted on TikTok, I think, in like a month or 3 weeks, but I'm tired. And also, no one needs to tell me what my cadence needs to be on TikTok. So I'm going to the beat of my own drum here. I'll get back when I feel like it. But right now, I'm not inspired to post anything. So
I love that for you. Yeah. I love that for you so much. It you do get burnt out, I will say.
But I mean, every brand needs to have a presence on TikTok. We were just talking today internally in a meeting because we're just, again, for the 500th time, restructuring the team. And, you know, people who've been with us since day one wanting to know what their growth is like and what does that mean? And they were once here, but now that, you know, for instance, influencer marketing, that whole landscape is completely changing. And we're experiencing it right now as we speak. The landscape for influencer marketing is changing. To what? I don't have the answer quite yet. Yeah. I'm trying to figure it out. But it's not just sending a beautifully curated PR box to someone with whether you're micro, nano, macro, and then celebrity status. It's not about just sending a cool PR box to someone anymore, hoping that they post. it is way beyond that and it's shifting. And so I can't answer to the person who wants to know if they're going to grow in the influencer marketing team, like what that growth looks like, because it's not stable right now. I do know that social is strong. It's always going to be here. If anything, it's always going to evolve into something bigger and better. And I'd rather push you towards that path because there is a lot of growth there. And so that is the ever-changing world of what we deal with as a brand. And I feel like people don't understand that we're not just selling a product. We are also figuring out how to get that product in front of you and what's the best and creative way to do that. I don't know why I brought that point up.
No,
because I'm
eight months
pregnant and my pregnancy brain is like wild.
Gosh. I didn't realize you were 8 months along. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very tired. My whole body hurts. This morning I was like, I rolled over and I was just thinking, was like, maybe I don't need to do it all today. I'm so tired.
Well, I was going to ask you, and I appreciate you being like, you know, I'm not posting on TikTok because I don't feel it. I think it's like one of those things as a founder that you need to just do the things that bring you joy. And that's why you bring on other people. But how do you find balance with all of it, especially being 8 months pregnant right now?
You know what? What's the straight answer to that? I mean, I'm very strict about leaving the office at 5 so I can go hang out with my son who is 17 months old at home. Doesn't mean I'm not, I always tell my team I'm always available. My phone's on, my Slack is on, my emails are on. I'll answer after he goes to sleep, but I do leave the office no matter what, whether I have to continue working or not at 5. That is my hard boundary. And I think it's just about setting boundaries, because if you don't have them, it's your life will feel chaotic. I am someone, and I've always been this way, I think it's just in my DNA, that I thrive in chaos. I love being busy. I love having 5 million meetings on my calendar. I don't know if my assistant loves that because he has to manage it, but I love going from one thing to the next. When I'm still is when my anxiety comes in. And I start to overthink and overanalyze and question myself and question decisions that I make. Whereas when I'm on the go and I'm moving quickly, I know exactly where I want to be and how I want to get there. And that's why I thrive in that world. And that's, it works for me. But just because it works for me doesn't mean that it works for everyone. And everyone always asks me that question, like, how do you handle it all? That's just something I guess you could say I'm passionate about. I like handling it all, but that doesn't mean that's the answer for someone else. And I think you have to reflect and do the work on yourself to understand who you are as a person and then figure out how to navigate, how to handle what you need to handle.
I love that. Doing the work on yourself to realize what works for you is the most important thing you can do, especially with everything you do have on your plate. But like, you know, time is the one thing you can't get back. So like creating that space to be with your son and be with your family, like there will always, I mean, as a founder, you never stop, you know? And I think that's the beauty of this. It's like, if you need to do that, or like for me, sometimes if I'm not feeling inspired, I'm like, I'm going to go for a walk for an hour or like read a book. And it could be like the middle of a day on Tuesday, but I'm like, that's the thing that's going to make me feel inspired and get me out of like whatever space I'm in that isn't productive.
Totally. I mean, I'll tell you right now, reading a book or going on a walk does not do it for me. So but that's the point. And I'm glad that you said that is like, you have to do what works for you and don't ask yourself, well, it worked for her, so maybe that's what I should be doing. Or, you know, Lindsay thrives in chaos, so maybe I should just try thriving in chaos. It's everyone operates differently and everyone's DNA is different. And I think you just have to ask yourself, like, what is going to get me going, and just block out whatever opinions are out there, because
this is probably why you have a company that makes product to like constantly be on the go and moving. And I make product to like sit down, close your eyes and brush your hair. Like, this is very suited for both of us, what we're doing.
Speaking of your routine, walk me through your whole shower routine. Like you walked into the bathroom, you're about to get in the shower, and now tell me every single step.
Favorite day of the week. I am obsessed with wash day. So I always brush my hair before I get in the shower. It's really important. It moves the natural healthy oils through your hair. And then when you go to reach for whatever your cleanser is on your scalp, it just gives you a cleaner clean. So a little brushing while the shower heats up. We love a steamy shower. Wet your hair fully before you put any product on it. Your hair is a fiber. needs to soak up all the water and kind of swell before you're putting product on it first. It won't like take as well. You know, people kind of like rush, but really key. And then
no rushing over here. Wash day is also my favorite day.
Yes. It's literally the best. I'm like, how can we make this something to look forward to? So I've been doing it more frequently because I'm obsessed with the cleansing scrub and it just makes my hair feel like amazing and lifted. But I'll either use the cleansing scrub or a shampoo. You don't need to use both. I'll do a double shampoo.
Wait, I have to ask about, okay, I don't know if anyone else feels this way with cleansing scrub, any cleansing scrub, but I remember the first time I ever tried a cleansing scrub, I think it was like before Crown Affair days. I always felt like because it was such a rough thing you were putting in your hair that I was always doing it wrong. And I was like, there has to be a way to do this or like, I don't know. And then I watched your TikTok of you doing it in your hair. And I was like, okay, I was doing it right. So like you literally just put it in your hands and scrub your scalp.
That's it. It's super gentle. So here's the thing. There's like a cult classic cleansing scrub. It's a salt scrub that I was using forever, but it had it's like an iconic one. Has sulfates, over strips and dries your hair and your scalp. And the salt granules that they use don't like dissolve enough.
Okay.
But the way that it makes your hair feel was amazing. So we spent over 2 years formulating this one to be sulfate free and PEG free. A lot of companies are like, we're sulfate free, but then they replace it with PEGs, which are still like harsh surfactants. So when people are like, my hair is so oily or greasy, I'm always like, let's start with what shampoo you're using. Because if you're using like any surfactant system that overlathers and strips, your hair is going to overproduce oil, just like your face. Like if you use a cleanser on your face and it like makes your pores tight, you're going to like overproduce oil. So that's really important. I'm obsessed with the cleansing scrub. And then like my dream wash day, I'm doing the renewal mask, which is my favorite. It's like not overly thick. This is such a gross analogy, but it's like a yogurt consistency. And you just put it all over your hair, root to end. If I'm really going for it, I'll do like 15, 20 minutes. Or if I'm like really having a nice, I'll draw a bath, get in the bath, let it sit. That's like a lot of time.
And is this before shampoo or after?
After shampoo. Okay. So any moisturizing product you want to use after you shampoo.
Okay.
Slash cleanse.
I'm so curious to hear your answer on this. Hot take. Yeah. Do you put conditioner on your scalp or only on your ends?
So normal conditioner, I do mid-length through ends. The renewal mask, the hair mask, I do put all over. My reasoning for it, and it really is like, here's the thing about hair care. Everything is trial and error. Like everybody's hair is different. Everybody's lifestyle is different. You're rinsing the product out anyway. So when I think of it as a treatment, I like putting it all over. And the product we use, Tsubaki seed oil, the ingredient, molecularly is much lighter weight than a lot of the oils that are traditionally used on your hair and hair care. So think like argan oil or coconut oil, like the molecular structures of those oils are really heavy. So when I use them on the top of my head, like by the root, my hair looks like weighed down. Even if I wash it out, there's something about Tsubaki seed oil, which is the key moisturizing ingredient we use in all of our moisturizing products that like, at least for my type 2B wavy hair, like my hair does not get weighed down by Crown Affair products. And like, that is why I made them, because so many of the moisturizing products out there, like my hair kind of looks heavy or greasy when I use them.
Got it.
If you feel the same.
Yeah. Well, I have very Jewish frizzy hair. It's so funny because I'll like air dry my hair, not the twisty way. Like sometimes, like the other day I air dried my hair because I had someone coming to do it for an event. I went downstairs and my housekeeper, who I'm very close with, we talk. She's like my girl. She was like, oh my God, your hair. It's so pretty. Like, how did you do that? I was like, this is how it dries. God. I was like, it's disgustingly ugly. Like, what are you talking about? Which leads me to, I actually have a like dream product that I wish you guys would make.
Tell me.
So I've recently found a new hairstyle. It's not new in the world of my pregnant brain does not work. Trends. It's not new in the world of hair trends. It is the, you know, Hailey Bieber, Kendall Jenner, middle part, slick back your hair, put it in a braid situation. The slick back part is hard for me. I don't want to use hairspray. I don't want to use gel. I don't want to use the IGK stick. I don't want to use just oil. I don't want to use a hair mask. I wish there was just like an in-between of like that IGK hair stick that had the like pasty glue, but also oils that was doing like hair health for you at the same time.
I'm obsessed with you because, okay, first of all, so many things. One, I also want the same product. I've right. ordered the sticks. I've ordered the stuff. And I'm like, this is not good for my hair. The whole thing with Crown Affair, and I think what Clean Makeup has done really well, is they're educating you. It's like, it's makeup, but it's formulated like skincare. And like most of hair care is not formulated in the equivalent of skincare. Like it's not good for you. Like your hair might look like Hailey or Kendall for a day, but then you're like, what did I just do to my scalp? And I just clogged all my hair follicles. So your wish is my command. Just be a little bit patient, but it's the magical intersection of all these things that has hold and gives an incredible blurring effect, but it's actually moisturizing and good for you. So I honestly think it's one of my favorite products. Also, by the way, also a Jewish girl with frizzy hair. My entire life mission is to just like hydrate my hair. People don't realize that frizz is just your hair reaching to the sky for more moisture. So it's about figuring out like what hydrating products without overhydrating it. It is a journey. And I'm so happy because I feel like I'm making products for us. And like, that is the mission, is like, how do we feel better with the hair that we have? I'm going to have the team send you sample, pardon the packaging, but you're going to get one of our first samples of the magical product that you just wanted. So stay tuned.
I'm so excited because I've now gained the confidence to wear my hair that way. But now I'm like, well, I'm not going to put it down with my husband's hair gel, and I'm not going to put oil and like just like clump oil onto my hair. Like, even though it's a mask, I'm still going to look like a grease head in public. Yeah. So Whitney Port was actually who inspired me with the hairstyle. She was on my podcast and she came in looking like a glowing goddess, and her hair was perfectly slicked back and in a braid. I was like, oh, it must be nice to be you. But so I can't wait for that product. I cannot wait.
We have a lot more products launching next year. And this speaks to what we were talking about earlier. It's like, I actually didn't use a leave-in conditioner or a detangler before this. And like, I joke, I'm like, our leave-in conditioner is for people who don't normally use leave-in conditioner. Like, even if you don't think you need it, you use it and you're like, oh my God, my hair just is like the no makeup makeup version of my hair when I use this. And the detangler as well. Like, it's just, it's a product our team's been wanting. I probably would have never made it. And like all of our customers are like, people ask for it. And that, by the way, is like the best, I think the best way to make product. And so many brands do this nowadays, but it's like making product with your customers. Cause the second you launch, it's like, people buy it and they're excited.
Well,
they're a part of
it. I will be buying all of those products. That is for sure. Cannot wait. Okay. I feel like there's so much more I could have covered on this podcast, but my team just let me know the minutes we've been recording. So I want to end the podcast with, what is your biggest piece of advice, life advice, business advice, doesn't matter, that you want to leave with the Ready, Set, Spill listeners?
The advice I always say, which was the advice my friend John gave me when I first started dating my husband. My husband and I have been together for 9 years now. I had just graduated college, and my friend John, who was like a cool guy who lived in the city, he's still one of my best friends. He's single. He's lovely, ladies. He was like, I was like, I really like this guy. Like, I think he might, I don't know. And he said to me, he goes, Diana, nobody ever got mad at a slow simmer. And I just loved it. Cause like, we like jokingly then listed everything that's just better low and slow, like scrambled eggs, relationships, like building businesses. Like, if you heat up really quickly, you can burn really quickly too. And I think that you see that with your relationships, you see that with business. So I think just low and slow is how you end up getting the best results. And you can be more present in the journey that way too.
I love that. And for someone who's on the go every second of the day, I need to like just remind myself sometimes it's better to take things slow. If people want to find out about what's coming with both your brand, I mean, personally, if you're going to ask me, I would follow Diana's TikTok, because that's where you get all the tips and tricks. That's how I learned that I was doing scalp scrub correctly and how to do the wave with the clips. So I would recommend going to her TikTok, but I'm sure you're going to have a different answer. If people want to find out what you're doing, what you're building, where can they find you?
Yes, Diana Cohen on all of the channels. It's Diana with two N's, and then Cohen the Jewish way, Diana Cohen on TikTok and Instagram. I do feel like I give sneak peeks and kind of tease things before we do on the brand, which is probably a learning and why we're all evolving our social strategies as we speak. But yes, lots of hair care content on TikTok, and then like more fun stuff on Instagram, and then Crown Affair, CROWN Affair, AFFAIR.
I love it. And you guys know I don't recommend anything without trying it myself first. And I don't speak on something I love without knowing that it actually works. And Crown Affair is it. So really trust me on this one. You guys trusted me with the Tower 28 spray. I'm telling you, don't sleep on Crown Affair. Yes. It was so lovely to meet you. If you're ever in LA, please let me know. I'd love to take you to dinner. So, so nice talking with you. I feel like I've learned so much and I feel like inspired to go back to the office. So thank you for coming on sure. Ready, Set, Spill.
Right back at you. It's so fun to be here today. I feel like we could talk for hours on end. So hours. I can't wait to be out in LA and get dinner. It was really such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diana. And I'm hoping to see you soon. So let me know when you're here.
Yes. Okay. Do.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.